Today, we're finishing up the series on Christian living, and the title of the message for today is, He Bears Witness About Me. When you say you bear witness for someone, you're standing and positioning yourself for the person, okay, and that he is true and he's real. And Christian living is about standing and positioning yourself for Jesus. Are you for Jesus or are you against Jesus? Well, what are you talking about? The world is clearly against Jesus. And we talked about this, and we'll talk about much more in detail. But in Christian living, this is the fifth message. And the title of the message is, He Bears Witness About Me. Who will? Holy Spirit will, and His people will. Toward whom? Against hating world. Okay? Against the hating world. Confronting them, the world is confronting in active rebellion and be against God. Do you see? There aren't a whole lot of options here. Either you are for him, or you're against him. Okay, in between somewhere, there is no such thing. Okay, Scripture clearly says that, and Jesus said, "Whoever is not against us is for us." Okay, so to whom he bears witness, it is toward the world. And who is doing the witnessing? It is Parakletos, Holy Spirit, and his followers. Okay? And testify what? Bear witness about what? About Jesus. So, that as an introduction. Last week we talked about Jesus' word on how the world will have animosity and hatred toward Christ and Christians. And it is not so much about the hatred and persecution based on the culture or the government system you may see or may you experience externally. I mean, some of you may feel perhaps more than others. Okay, I mean, I don't think it's that bad in the United States. And maybe that's your position. Wow, it's increasingly getting worse, and I begin to clearly see it. That may be your position. I don't see it at all. That may be your position as well, but it's not so much about what you feel externally. Because the hatred of the world toward Christ is not about what you feel or externally. It's not based on government system. It is not based on the culture. It is at the core. At the core, it is spiritual. Okay? At the core, it is spiritual. Why? Because Jesus reveals your heart, okay? Exposes your heart, convict of your sin that you are guilty, right? So when you're exposed, what do you feel? When you're exposed, when people see you, you know, deep inside we have this fear. I don't want people to really know me, okay? You know why? Because when you are exposed, you feel the shame. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned and the first thing they did was to cover themselves. What is that about? Shame of being exposed. That is why we can't really be real and transparent to people. That's what sin nature is. Sin, that's what sin does. So shame. And it also, Jesus convicts of your sin. You're guilty. You're guilty. That's exposed. And you hate that. You hate that feeling of being cornered and prosecuted and convicted, which is the work of the Holy Spirit, and you hate that. And lastly, deep inside you fear, don't you? You know why you fear about your death? Because you are created eternally and you know intuitively there is a judgment. Fear has to do with judgment, Bible says. That's why. So putting it all together, shame, guilt, and fear. And Jesus exposes that. Word of God exposes that as work of the Holy Spirit. That's why the world hates Jesus. It is at the core spiritual. But interesting thing is, the shame, guilt, and fear is not something that Jesus creates, but it's already in you. He's just exposing it. Right? Deep inside, do you fear? Do you feel ashamed? And do you feel guilty? I don't want people to know me, what's going on in my heart. I don't want people to know what I do in darkness when I'm alone. Right? So whether you feel this hatred or persecution from the world or the culture, as an individual, which may vary externally and internally, but that's not what we're talking about. When Jesus said, this world will hate you and hurt and will hate Christ, it is the word of the Lord and it is the reality, spiritual reality, whether you really feel it or not. It is irrelevant how much you feel it, because that's the word of the Lord. And it has been the way it has it was for throughout past 2,000 years. Christians were persecuted and killed, left and right. True Christians, that is, right? At the core, that's just the way the world is. Last week, Jesus kind of ended the warning. It's like the warning. You as a parent, those of you are parents, do you just say nice things to your parents? You can't. You can't. Son, be careful when you cross the street. There's a car running 50 miles an hour. You need to look to your left, look to your right, make sure there is enough space, no cars coming, and you cross the street. Son, look to the left, look to the right. You warn them just once. Come on, right? Jesus warns. The world will hate you, Christians. And by the way, I want to make this clear. This word is for those who stand for him. It doesn't make sense for those people who stand against him. Okay? So he's warning his beloved disciples. Why? To forearm them, to prepare them, so that they will not be surprised. Okay? And I find, it's kind of interesting because I want to start from from this verse. We finished with verse 25 last week, and it's a staggering, staggering prophecy and statement. But the word that is written in the law, which is the Old Testament, must be fulfilled. And what was written in the Old Testament? They hated me without a cause. Do you hate anyone without any reason? Okay, but it's amazing because it is written in the Old Testament. But people who hated Jesus and eventually killed were the Jews and the religious people, okay, who had the law and they revered it. And they were so proud of it. And they supposed to believed it. And isn't it kind of interesting what is written? They lived and fulfilled it. I just find it so ironic if you think with me. This is the very word they believed and they revered and they treasured and they fulfilled that word. They hated me without a cause by living it and fulfilled it. I find that so ironic. And we thought of two conclusions last week, which is an amazing, amazing truth. First of all the hatred, persecutions of the world cannot and will not deter the plan of God. All the hatred, persecutions, and oppositions of the world will not deter the plan of God. Okay? And secondly, I think it's a little bit more subtle, but I thought, wow, God foresaw and foreknew the impossibility of the darkened human mind. That's us, people. That's us. Okay. Kind of interesting because it ends with that kind of hatred passage and then followed by this famous Parakletos passage, Holy Spirit passage. To give you the outline, it's sort of like flows like this toward the end of his sermon, of his last message on this historic night. He speaks about the hatred. He speaks about the Parakletos. He speaks about the hatred more, and he speaks about the Parakletos more. Do you get the sense? It is real. The world will stand against you. And then he speaks about Holy Spirit. And it is true. They're going to eventually excommunicate from the synagogues, which means you'll be an outcast. Socially, economically, of course, religiously and salvation, you'll be an outcast. And they will kill you and think that they are doing something good for God. In other words, these people who are persecuting the Christians will be religious people. And we know that's true. We know that's historically true. So, do you see the pattern? Persecution, hatred, Parakletos. Persecution, hatred, Parakletos. And he's speaking to whom? To Christians who are for him, the witnesses. If you are not, it doesn't apply to you. It doesn't make any sense to you. Okay, so that's the kind of like flow. And immediately follow about hatred of the world. Then he speaks about Parakletos. And this is the third Parakletos passage in this discourse out of the five. Okay, and this is a significant one. But when the helper comes, Parakletos, which means an advocate, right? Someone who stands at the court as your defending lawyer. When the Holy Spirit comes, when the Helper comes, whom I will send, it's Jesus is sending him to you from the Father, and he's the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. And what is he going to do? What is he about? He will bear witness about me. He's for Christ. Okay? And then verse 27 is about really about Christian living or your life, I hope. I think this is how big this is. What is your life about? Verse 27. You also bear witness. Just like the Parakletos, you also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Okay? I just want to talk about two things this afternoon. Number one, what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? If you're a Christian, it is all about Holy Spirit with you. What is the role of Parakletos? Number two, what is the ministry or Christian life of the Christians? Just want to talk about two things. Okay? And the key moment and key event and key thing in the plan of God, in God's redeeming story of history, is coming of the Holy Spirit. And I would argue, for your life, if you could just look at me, you as a Christian, the key event, the key thing in your life, is the Spirit living with you or not. I'm so clear about this now. Okay? So, when you look at these two verses, what we see is three things. Number one, Spirit will bear witness. Number two, Spirit will bear witness about me or about Jesus. I mean, I shouldn't even divide those two, but I did. Spirit of God will bear witness about, will bear witness, and it is about Christ. And thirdly, third observation is you, Christians, if you are lovers of Christ, you will bear witness. Do you see the distinction? Christians love Christ. World hate Christ. We see that in the scripture. Christians obey Christ. The world cannot obey Christ, disobey Christ, rebel against Christ. Christians bear witness about Christ, and the world try to do everything to destroy Christ. Do you see the distinction? It's rather pretty clear. Okay, so let's look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is the helper, Parakletos, who will bear witness, meaning it's after Jesus' departure. I think that's very, very important. In chapter 16, verse 7, right there, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, meaning I go to the cross, meaning after my death, there's going to be resurrection, there's going to be an ascension, and there's going to be an incarnation. Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and then I will be sending Holy Spirit to you. So there is that progression and sequence. Unless I go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I do go away, I will send him to you. I think that's a very important statement. Okay? Why is it so important that he goes away? Why is it to our advantage that he goes away? If he doesn't go to the cross, what happens? No cross, there is no salvation. No substitutionary death, nothing, right? There is no resurrection, there is no salvation, there is no justification, there is no forgiveness of sins, there is no propitiation, there is nothing. Basically, no Christianity. And by the way, Holy Spirit, right, cannot be with you because you're not. Ooh, what does that mean? I want to just explain the word holy, holiness. Last Friday, on Attributes of God class, we talked about the word holy. And we get very, intimidated by the word. But would you hear this? When the Bible says holy, it is really about two things. Number one, holiness is what God is. Number two, holiness is what the plan of God is for his people. Okay? I'm going to say it one more time because this is huge statements. Holiness is what God is. Everything about it, him is holy. Okay? But the second big statement is holiness is the plan of God, desire of God, what he's doing for his people, for holiness. That's you. That's me. Okay? God's great desire and love of God and his plan is holiness of his people. And we still get very, very intimidated. When we say holiness, what are we talking about? It refers to two things. Number one, God's, hear me out, transcendent greatness. God is transcendent. He is creator and we are not. He created not because of necessity, because he's totally self-sufficient, but he created because of his great desire and will, his glorious purpose. He created you. Transcendent greatness. And second thing is perfect purity. When we say transcendence, I want to just kind of explain to you, it means exceeding beyond limit. So God is beyond the limit of what? Time, space, or any limits. So when he's out of the limit of time, that means he's bigger than the history. Do you see the transcendent greatness? When he's beyond the beyond the limit of space, he means he's bigger than the universe. That's how big he is, his holiness. Isn't it amazing? You know, Christianity is a thinking religion, which means we need to read and think. Otherwise, if you just do YouTubes, you can't really live Christian life. Because YouTube doesn't make you think. Right? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinner, sit in the seat of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and he think and meditates day and night. Right? So transcendent greatness of God. And then there is you and there is me. The second thing is perfect purity. He's pure. You know he's pure. You know he's morally pure. He's good and pure. How much? 99.9%. No? Is that perfect? 99.99999%. No? Is that perfect? No, it's not perfect. But God is perfectly pure. Not 99.9999999, and I say 9 until I pass out. Still not perfect, but God is perfect. Transcendent greatness and perfect purity. And his plan for you is to be holy, to be with him. Do you think you could achieve that? Do you think you could accomplish that? Do you think you could try that? You want to give it a try? Do you think that'll work? I'm not taunting you. Let's be reasonable. Do you think you'll be able to reach perfect purity? You'll be able to reach transcendent, beyond, bigger than the history and bigger than the universe, bigger than your university, bigger than your marriage, bigger than your wealth, bigger than your dreams. You think you'll be able to reach that? I don't think so. You see, not only we can't, but we don't want to. That's our nature, sinful nature, right? So to make his people holy, he made the move. Because what separates and what distinguishes and what God hates is that sin and evil. Because he is perfect purity. Anything that offends and threatens and undo his holiness and his love, he must attack and destroy. And he has to fight. And you know what? That's what the cross is. That's what the wrath of God is. He must attack and destroy. That's the wrath of God. He hates, abhors sin. Do you understand that? That's why the wrath of God is the hope of our salvation. Because that's what the cross was about. So he made a move, okay? Despite the fact that we do not have any ability to do so or desire to do so, right? He made a move. How did he do that? In this background, God planned and God moved. You know how he did it? He sent his holy son, Holy One of Israel, Yahweh himself. And he actually, on your behalf, stood on the ground of the cross and he died, which is your penalty for your sin and evil. Okay? How pure and perfect is Christ? Perfect purity. Otherwise, it makes no sense and there is no value for his death because he died for his own death. He's perfectly pure. And he's at the same time, he's a transcendent great God. And he wants to be united with you. That's holiness, people. To bear witness about him is bearing witness about that Jesus. Are you for him? Or are you against him? Wow, Pastor, do you have to corner us like that? I don't want to. Personally, but the Word of God does. I shouldn't even say I don't want to. Right? Are you for him or are you against him? His followers and Christians are the holy people who made perfectly holy by our achievements, by our serving, by our resume. I mean, come on, you got to be kidding, right? It's only by Christ and Christ alone. To those who put their true repentance and faith toward that person of Christ. That's the only way. In history, that's the only way. In all the religions, I don't even want to talk about the religions. Religion is always trying to reach perfect holiness. Perfect purity. I mean, you've got to be kidding. Transcendent greatness. How are you going to achieve transcendent greatness by your own effort? How are you going to do that, right? And he called us to be holy people. On this side of eternity, people, not just positionally so that we are saved, but here on this side of eternity, he desires his people to be holy. As I am holy, I want you to be holy. That's what the Holy Spirit is about, isn't it? Do you see the connection? Holiness, Holy Spirit, and His plan is for holiness of His people. Christianity is not really about your prosperity. Wake up, people. Like, shower it off. Get that out of your system, please. Because that's gonna poison you. It's been poisoning the church for so many years. That is not what the scripture is, what the gospel is, what Christianity is, what the plan of God is. The plan of God is holiness for His people. Set apart for His purpose. What is the purpose? To bear witness to the hating world. I think if you get this, instead of feeling, oh man, if you get this, I think, wow, I want to live for that. I think that's what Jesus is doing. Okay? So, if I don't go away, no cross, no resurrection, no forgiveness, and you're not going to be ready for Holy Spirit. Right? But if I do go away, okay, I will send the Holy Spirit to bear witness about me. Now, how is the Holy Spirit, Parakletos, a key person in history as well as in your own life? Okay, let me just try to explain this. Could you walk with me? What we've been talking about for several weeks. How about His peace? Peace with God. Without Holy Spirit, you'll be living in guilty conscience. Do you like that? Guilty conscience. Fearful, shameful, and guilty, right? But Spirit of God awakens you from that guilty conscience. What about His joy? The joy, Holy Spirit, of joy, of loving God and obeying Him. I always ask this question. Do you feel joyful when you disobey, or do you feel joyful when you obey? Some of you say, I feel joyful when I disobey, right? That's a sick heart, right? But God's grace is you'll be able to love God and obey Him. The joy of the Lord. And seeing the church of God standing. What about His love? Romans 5:5, He pours, Holy Spirit pours His agape into the hearts of the believers. That's why you could love people. The world hates, but you love. Okay? What about His parakletos? Okay, the greatest gift from the Father to those who ask. What about His presence? You know, Jesus keeps saying, abide in me, abide in me. I will not leave you as an orphan, and I'm going to come back to you. How did He do that? Through the person of Holy Spirit. Do you have the Spirit in you? Are you walking with the Holy Spirit? What about His fruits? It's the Holy Spirit's fruit, isn't it? Love, joy, peace. When you're inside change, and then you're going to have an external fruits. Right? How about goal and purpose in your life? Can I just ask this one question? What is the purpose of your life? What do you live for? Do you know? Scripture clearly speaks that. To bear witness about me. Whether you as a teacher, whether you as a engineer, whether you as a married person, as a single person, whether you as a, it doesn't matter your race, doesn't matter your vocation, it does not matter. The purpose is to bear witness, and your soul will answer that. I just want to add one more. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says, Holy Spirit is this. He's the seal on us, given us from the Father, and Spirit is the deposit guarantee. Two things. Number one, He's the seal. You know what a seal is? In the Roman Empire, they used the seal, okay? Seal, saying that Roman Empire would put Roman Empire seal on something, and this belongs to Roman Emperor. Roman King. Holy Spirit is the seal of the kingdom and the King of Kings upon you. In other words, He belongs to me. If you want to attack Him, you're going to have to go through me. Who is? God is. The kingdom of God is. That's what seal is. Holy Spirit is the seal. And secondly, He is the guarantee. So many times we ask that question, don't we? Do you guarantee it? Well, Holy Spirit is a guarantee of God upon your life. And my prayer is you would seek and you would hunger for Holy Spirit in your life. Okay? So we come back to this key observation. Spirit bears witness to this hating world. Spirit bears witness about Jesus. What about Christians? We bear witness about Jesus to the hating world with the Holy Spirit. Simple as that. Simple as that. Can I just tell you something? Let me just share. This quote, John MacArthur said, all spirit-energized witness, that's Christians, okay, is then to the world, is about the Son, okay? And then he says, now if your testimony is not about the Son, it is not of the Spirit. Because the Spirit's ministry is to show the things of the Son. He bears witness about the Son, okay? And we know in John chapter 16, very simple, what did he do? He shall glorify Christ. Glorify me. The Holy Spirit will always give glory to Jesus Christ. To sum it up, Holy Spirit and Christians always bear witness about Christ. Preach Christ. That is why when we preach through the Scripture and preach through the Christ, that's when the Holy Spirit moves, convicting the hearts and convinces the heart to turn to Christ. That's the preaching of Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. If I preach culture, if I preach politics, if I preach justice in this world, the Holy Spirit cannot work. Right? Cannot and will not work. Okay? So, true church, throughout history, true church, the testimony always been the testimony of Jesus, preaching Christ. And I just pray that it'll clarify your heart right now. What can I get out of today's message? Don't think like that, people. Don't talk like that. Don't be selfish, self-absorbed. God is transcendent greatness. And his desire for you, I don't know why, right? Other than his mysterious love of agape. What is so lovable about me and you? Come on. We actively in rebellion against him. We hate him. We say names of him. We do that all the time. But why is his plan for us holiness and love? Right? His transcendent greatness and purity, perfect purity, desires to have us to be part of his holy kingdom. Right? So, that's what our calling is. What is our believers and disciples' life about Christian living? It is about the key calling is to bear witness about Christ with the Paracletos. And that's the message for today. Are you living a Christian life or are you living against Christ? If you're not living a Christian life, you are living against Christ. Right? That's the Christian living par excellence. It is the Holy Spirit with us and within us forever. He's indwelling in us, mano in us. And when we are walking and living and be filled with the Holy Spirit, I think bearing witness is a natural thing. I don't think it's the once a week you go to the H Mart and once a year you go to Africa and try to witness. That's not it. It's just a natural response. To your family, to your workplaces, and to your neighbors, everybody, because he is in you. And he is the one who testifies, right? And I want to say something critical at this point, because if you put those things together, here's what it is. We are the front line of the battle with the world. We are the front line. Christians, disciples and the followers of Christ are in the front line. Are you in the front line, or are you in the back looking to, should I join or should I run away? Can you imagine a country, right? So many people behind the front line. Should I support them or should I run? That country will not win. But true believers and followers of Christ are standing in the front line with the Holy Spirit, fighting against, battling against, confronting the world who hate Christ with the love of Christ, with the loving message of Jesus Christ. Do you hear the dynamic? Do you hear the dynamic? That's God's design. That's God's plan. That's what Christianity is. If you mess this up, you lose everything. You're just missing out everything. You're missing out everything. Okay. Can I share what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10? Jesus already, like a month before he went to the cross, already shared about what the reality will be like with the world. He sent out 12 disciples in Matthew chapter 10 to preach about the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is what Jesus said to the disciples. Listen carefully. Okay? He's sending out people to the villages and to the world, and 12 disciples to preach about the kingdom. And this is what Jesus said to the disciples. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Do you hear it? This is Jesus speaking. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Be aware of men. Be careful with men. Why? For they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in the synagogues. Sounds like John chapter 16. And you will be charged before, you'll be dragged before the governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles, before the world. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious about what you're going to say and how you're going to speak. For what you are to say will be given to you at that hour. That doesn't sound very comforting, right? But next verse. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Do you hear it? This is Christianity, people. Spirit lives with us, in us. And we don't testify, but we are the vessel for Holy Spirit to testify. But for him to testify through you, I think number one, you need to come to Christ and you need to yield yourself to the Spirit and being obedient unto him. And that's what Jesus already taught them. Brothers, and then he speaks about how the world will be. Brothers will deliver brothers over to death. And the father to father his child. And children will rise against parents and have them put to death. So many chaotic things because of Christ. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Did you hear it? Don't be deceived. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Abide in Christ, people. If you leave, that's an evidence of you're not abiding in Christ. Those who endure to the end will be saved. And when they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly, I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. And you know what? Son of Man is coming. Are you standing for him? Are you against him? He's coming back. If you're a Christian, you will bear witness and you will stand for him. If not, you are against him. Whoever is not against me is for me, Jesus said. Spoken clearly like that. Don't try to play middle game, right? I'm a neuter. I'm in between. Don't do that. A disciple is not above of his master. It is not enough for disciples to be like his teacher, the servant like his master. If they have called Master Jesus, the house of Beelzebub, which means Satan. The world called Jesus Satan. Do you think they're going to leave you alone? How much more will they malign, therefore, against the household? I hope you get the message, people. Okay? I don't know whether you're living a Christian life or you're thinking about it. And I hope you are. Because if you're not for him, you're standing against him right now. How do you know? Loving him and not loving him. How do you know whether I love him or not? Obeying him and not obeying him. It's not very difficult. Are you obeying him or are you disobeying him? Are you loving him or hating him? Are you for him or are you against him? Are you testifying him, bear witnessing about him, or you just want to suppress the truth? Do you hear the distinction? We're talking about Christian life. And God's desire and plan for his people is holiness. And this word is for those people who are holy in the sight of eternity, living for Christ. Okay? I just want to summarize everything. Final thought, if you would just wake up and listen. As Jesus was about to depart, go to the cross, go back to the Father, okay, and he needs to go to the cross because his plan for you is holiness. Because the Holy One has to bear all your garbage and sin upon him so that he'll be able to impute his holiness upon you. Right? And that is the greatest event, the cross, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, you will be led by the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit is the one who testifies Christ to this hating world. I don't know what kind of emotion you get when you think about that. Man, that stings. I was going to say the other S word, but that stings. Wow, I want to live this life like in peace, comfortably. Well, I'm sorry. Scripture says the world will hate Christ and Christians. But you know what? Christ is for you. God is for you. And we have this calling to bring those lost, the world, hating world, to bring into holiness, the plan of God. Is it going to be a lot? I'm not sure. Not sure. What is God doing in this pandemic? God is building his church. God is not kind of like, oh, man, I'm like totally bummed out. Once this pandemic came, God is not bummed out right now. God is not. God is transcendent of history and the universe. Transcendent greatness. Pandemic or nation is like a drop of water in a bucket. United States of America, we pray for today, and we should. And Bible says Babylon is like a drop of water in a bucket. Isaiah chapter 40. We fear God and we love God. An amazing fact is that he has desire to be united with you in his holiness. Right? It is through the believers, true believers, bearing witness about Christ. I think that's it. That's it. It's not about prosperity, it's not about politics, it's not about justice, like socially. No. Jesus never really focused on that. It is about his coming kingdom, right? Confronting the world, exposing their hearts, convicting their sin by the Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does, convict of your sin, righteousness, and judgment, so that you'll be convinced to be led to Christ. That's the only hope that we have, people. That's the story of Christianity and redemption, and the believers will be in the front line. Are you at the front line? With the great love of agape, telling people, come, submit to him, surrender to him, and be holy as God is holy.